You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. This is episode 196, Resizing and Rebroadcasting. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, one of your hosts, where we talk about technology and how it relates to ministry. Hopefully we've got some good stuff today for you. And joining me, as usual, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I'm here in Sleepy Eye, and I'm the other host of the Wells Tech Podcast.
You certainly are.
We are closing in on podcast number 200. Mm-hmm. Is that hard to believe or what?
Yep, 196. We got four to go, and then we celebrate our milestone. We've got some great news and a semi kind of contest for our folks to participate in, which I think they'll be excited in.
Yeah, so yeah, keep listening, folks, because we're going to make some big announcements in this podcast.
Big announcements. How's that for a tease? Yes.
Well, we are. Been a busy guy, Martin.
Oh, you too. But 2 weeks ago was Synod Convention, and we pre-recorded that one for the podcast. And then last week I was busy doing final web training. So this is my first week back in the office, really. So.
Yeah,
and everything feels normal now as we're beginning another podcast recording session.
I'd say we have to figure out how to do this all over again. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of community feedback to get to.
Because we've been gone a while. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So very exciting to see our Wells Tech family kind of chip in and help us out with the podcast in that way. And so you want to stay tuned for that as well. Yep. So we better get to our blog post before we can get to all this other good stuff.
For those of you that are joining us for the first time, we're right in the midst of a summer series called Wells Hacker, kind of a takeoff on the popular blog Life Hacker, where we try and pick a topic that we feel would be of general interest and walk people through usually a step-by-step kind of a thing to let them know how you do something that's going to help them be more productive or some kind of ministry tool or topic. And that's what we've done this week as well. And I guess it's my turn to go first, right, Sally?
That's right, Martin. I keep up with things like
we're
that.
We're taking turns. She's got a little checklist on the wall. Yes. My blog post, again, these are at our personal blogs. I also post on the Synod blog, but at martinspriggs.com, and Sally's will be at sallydraper.com. And if you go to martinspriggs.com today, you will see a blog post called Too Many Big Photos. And as I was thinking about what to blog about, I had just come out of the final web training. And one of the big questions that comes up usually when we go through website training is, well, how do we put a bunch of photos up on the web in kind of a photo gallery format? And one of the things that really people struggle with to do that is when you take a lot of pictures and you get them onto your computer, they come in pretty large. A lot of the cameras today are big megapixel type cameras, 8 megapixels, 10 megapixels, 18 megapixels. Mm-hmm. So when you're taking pictures that large and you want some of them that large if you're going to blow them up or put them in, you know, an 8x10 or whatever, so you want that good resolution, but not so good when you're trying to put them on the web. The web doesn't need that big a photo. In fact, we've both probably seen all those websites where, you know, people have tried to paste too large of photos onto the page, and it just takes forever to load. So we want to optimize the photo, shrink them all. But if you've got 20 of them, you want to put in a photo gallery. You know, it's a pretty laborious process to open each one in your photo editing software, whatever it is, whether it's the Windows software or stuff that came with your camera or whatever. Open each one and then size it down, and open the next one and size it down. My blog post is about a tool that does that for you automatically called IrfanView. And Sally, this is a little tool, free utility that we've talked about in the past. I think it was a pick, but it came up, I think, in some best of type shows that we've done in the past. And this is the one I almost always recommend to our final web trainees. And this is a really slick and free tool. So the blog post walks people through installing it, Windows only, although there is a some Mac alternatives, but this is a Windows-only application at irfanview.com. And I walk through the installation process, and then it's really as simple as finding the photos you want to convert. So you offload them off your camera onto your computer. You select those. You put them in a little queue. And then you hit a couple buttons, and you can configure all kinds of things to transform your photos. You can do auto renaming, so that's one of the minor features actually compared to some of the rest. You can do some cropping universally across all 20 of your pictures. You can resize, and you can even convert. So if they come in RAW format, a lot of cameras take photos in RAW now, R-A-W. Or if they come in TIFF or whatever, and you want them in JPEG, you can do a conversion on the fly, and you can do them all on the fly. And you queue them up, you create your settings, you say, I want them all at 300 dpi or less, or 30 dpi or less, or whatever it is. And you click the button, and presto, everything has changed for you. So you've got just this total batch process that takes all that laborious one-at-a-time work right out of the picture. And does it all for you.
I love that. I love the price tag, first of all. And I love that you're giving people this tool. I would say this is probably one of the biggest things that I support our teaching staff at our school on is just batch sizing their pictures.
Yep.
They can do the web work, but that task of taking 200 pictures and one by one resizing them is enough to turn them off from putting any photos on the website. So I'm the batch girl. I actually use a tool called Snagit. It does exactly what you're talking about, Martin, and it has the same kind of features, but it's a paid-for tool. It costs $50, and you're giving them a free option. That's awesome. I use Snagit for a lot of other things besides that, so I'm pretty sold on that solution, and it does it for me easily, but I could see that Irfan View would be a great way to do this batch process.
Yeah, IrfanView does other things too. It is an image editor, so you can actually open up photos, but the primary reason I recommend it is for that batch processing, and it does a really nifty job. I did mention at the top that it does not have a Mac version, but I did recommend one that I found, and I haven't really used a lot, called Graphic Converter 7. And this tool does work on the Mac, but it is not free. It's shareware. I think it's either $15 or $25, something like that. And shortly after I posted my blog post, Perry Lund, one of our regular listeners and somebody I actually got a chance to chat with at Cine Convention a couple weeks ago, enjoyed the conversation, Perry, responded with a comment to the blog saying, hey, he uses Graphic Converter. He is a Mac user and loves it. He has used it for a number of years and does it for all kinds of batch resizing and image editing kinds of things. So there is some firsthand experience with the Mac, kind of equivalent, I guess, Graphic Converter 7. So two picks, basically, or two tips for the price of one here.
Well, that's great. And the price of admission is right up my alley, too. So
yep, easy to install, easy to use, and just follow the step-by-steps, and you're good to go.
All right.
Sally, what are you up to these days?
It's my turn, and I had to blog about something that just was really exciting to me recently. I was able to do live broadcasting from our church basement of a worship service that we were having in our air-conditioned church basement. So a little bit of a backstory, and that is that we've been doing live broadcasting in Sleepy Eye for a number of years, actually, and we use Ustream.tv. It's a free service, ad-enhanced, and sometimes I don't really like the advertising that they choose to put on our stream, but we use it because of the price tag. We can't afford to pay for that streaming at this point, so we do use their free service. And to this point, we've been using a camera hooked into a computer setup in our church balcony to broadcast our worship services. But we hit a snag every summer because it gets too hot to worship in our sanctuary. We don't have air conditioning there. So at some point, at least for a few weeks each summer, we end up moving our worship service to our church basement. And when we do that, we don't have the ability to do the live broadcast. And so over time, over time, we've built up a pretty good following for our live broadcast, and people expect us to be broadcasting our services, and then we have this gap, and that's a real problem for us. But about 2 weeks ago, Ustream announced a new iPad application, and I've since learned there's a Droid tablet application as well. And from that app, you can use the camera on your iPad, your all-in-one favorite tablet device, and stream your video directly from your iPad over a wireless connection. So I had no idea what kind of quality we'd get or whether it would be a strong enough wireless connection for us to make use of, but I gave it a try one Saturday night for our worship service and had fabulous results. We had 7 viewers tuned in to our live worship service, one of which is a shut-in who has really been missing attending church and was so excited to get access to our worship service from the basement. So I was just really pumped about the possibilities now that your mobile device basically can broadcast live video. And the idea of the ministry applications for that, even once we go back to worshiping in the church sanctuary and can use our regular camera setup, I can still broadcast live our Bible classes, which always happen down in the church basement. And so it'll be a whole new realm of things that I can add to our broadcast schedule, basically, by having the ability to broadcast from my iPad. So I just couldn't wait to share this with the Wells Tech audience. Mm-hmm. If we had had a show last week, this would have been my blog post last week, but we had pre-recorded those. But to me, this is kind of revolutionary, seeing technology progress to the point where you don't need to have an expensive camera and a video converter and a dedicated computer to do live video streaming. You can actually do it from a mobile device. Maybe that's the justification your congregation needs to invest in a mobile device to do some live broadcast.
Sure, I can imagine a lot of live events like that. Now, this was over Wi-Fi, right?
That's right.
Does your iPad have
the 3G?
3G connection?
It doesn't. I didn't spring for that. Our whole campus here, our parsonage, school, and church are all Wi-Fi, and so I figured that would be enough for me. So.
Sure. That'd be interesting to see if that is possible as well, so you get out on the athletic field or whatever and,
sure.
and be able to stream. I've heard stories that it does work, so it'd be interesting to see what kind of quality.
Yeah.
So how did you mount this? Was this just propped up on a chair?
I held it in my hands.
Okay.
I didn't stand up and sit down when I was supposed to during church. I just sat on the front row and held the iPad, and I traded it off to my son during the sermon. He held it so I wouldn't get too tired. But we also had the idea, you know, they have all kinds of iPad stands that you can buy.
Yep.
But we're sitting there with the church library resources kind of in the background because they're down in the basement.
Right.
And we have book stands. And we tried it out on a book stand that we had sitting there after church, and that would totally work.
Yeah.
Just prop it up on a book stand, and I think we have a tripod in the making. So
you were the tripod last.
Exactly, I was.
Okay. And how did you get audio? And did you just use the microphone on the iPad, or did you try to hook something in?
Nope, just used the microphone on the iPad, and it was fine. We it recorded it, you know, so
yeah.
We went back and watched the recording, and the quality was excellent.
Nice.
So, and, you know, it's a lot better than the stationary camera. I could walk around with the iPad after church. Like I said, I knew there was at least one particular shut-in who's really been missing attending church, and they were able to see the faces of the people there. We had a new baby that was at church for the first time, so I was able to show that on the camera, and it meant a lot to this particular person and to the others that were watching as well. So,
Okay.
Love the mobile ability.
Very nice. Yeah. Making good use of that technology.
And, you know, as a bonus, I also mentioned that Skype came out with an iPad app, so you can do video chatting with Skype. So for one-to-one kind of situations, maybe a counseling situation or a long-distance Bible class, you could now use the iPad for that kind of thing as well.
From wherever you are, wherever you can tote it. Nice.
Got it.
Ties nicely in with our last week's topic of tablet uses.
Sure.
So.
I don't want to be overkill, but I really think this is kind of, we're going to see some major shifting here as more and more video becomes mobile.
Yep, I agree. All right, so tune in next week for some more Wells Hacker tips. We'll go through, I think we're going all the way through the month of August.
That's right. We've got more to come.
More to come, so tune in. We should probably move on. A couple things of interest, Sally, right?
You bet. We mentioned at the top of the show that we are coming up on our 200th Wells Tech episode, 200 weekly episodes of the Wells Tech podcast, dating back to January of 2008, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. And in honor of our 200th episode, we want to hear from you. We are inviting our Wells Tech listeners to call in and leave us a short voicemail on our voicemail line, telling us about your favorite technology and ministry story, or just shouting out some anniversary well wishes. Whatever your pleasure, you can call into our voice line, which is 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357, and leave us a shout out. And we'd like that 200th episode to just be kind of a patchwork quilt of all these different voices telling us their ministry technology stories, and
or just your favorite part of the show or whatever. Doesn't matter. Yeah, we just want you to participate and to incent you and to encourage you to let your voice be heard. We have a special prize for one lucky listener.
So of all of those who call in and leave us their messages, I guess we could probably take some comments as well, but we'd really like to hear your voice on the voicemail line. We are going to be giving away a flip video camera.
Mm-hmm. Not just any flip video camera.
You probably have more details, Mark.
This is a Flip Mino, or is it Mino? I'm not sure which. HD records up to an hour of HD video. And we've actually customized this, so it's not just the plain old black or the white, but it has the nice blue background with the Wells Tech logo on it. So you can proudly display that as you take your HD video. So this is about $100 value, and we are going to draw a random winner from all those who submitted a voice mail to us for our 20th anniversary show. So you have, we should probably cut this off about the Sunday before the show, Sally, maybe? Whatever. Sure. Sunday that is. We didn't talk about the deadline, but so the Sunday before our 200th episode.
I think that would be about September 4th.
Yeah, Labor Day. Yes. Let's just say Labor Day. End of Labor Day. So if you got some, get done with the barbecue and the picnic or whatever, come back to the computer, or if you've got your mobile phone with you or your mobile iPad, dial up 405 for Wells, 405-367-9357. Let us know what you think, and you will be entered into the contest for a chance to win this brand new Wells Tech podcast emblazoned Flip Mino HD.
This is a one-of-a-kind kind of thing. Can I enter the contest, Martin?
Sorry. And we'll know if any of your family members do, too, under some kind of alias.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear from you. We have one other item of interest, and this is a little bit sadder note. We have a member of our technology team leaving us, and we need to fill a position for what we call our help desk technical specialist. So if you are interested, or if you know of somebody who might be interested in filling a help desk role, they basically handle all the requests that come in for technical support, whether that be on the website or with local hardware here in the SAB, fixing laptops, imaging machines, installing peripherals, installing applications, network permissions, all that good stuff. We would love to get your resume and consider you for this open position we're going to have coming up here in a couple weeks. Person does need to be, at this point, local to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area. That's where our offices are. So if you are interested or know of somebody that would be interested in filling the help desk position that we're having opening up here in the Senate Administration Building, just let us know, let me know at the Wells Tech podcast, and we will just send an email to wellstech@wells.net, and we will forward your resume, if appropriate, to our HR department, and hopefully we can fill this position, Sally.
I'm just thinking about how this person is going to have instant popularity. This is such a
everybody a wants to talk to them. Yes.
Yes.
You do some of that work, too. And
it
is fun, though, talking to the people.
I enjoy helping people and finding a way to work out their tech issues. So
yep.
You bet.
So if you'd like to learn more, send us an email. We can actually send you out a job description as well, which might be handy. Let's move on to community feedback. Sally, you mentioned we got a ton of it, so let's move quickly.
You bet. One of my recent Wells Hacker blog posts had to do with Dropbox, and I heard from my friend Ken Arsenault, who said he also uses Box.net, which is a Dropbox, a similar type product to Dropbox. Yep. And with Box.net, you get 5 gig of storage free. So Dropbox only gives you 2. Box.net has upped that ante to 5 gig of free storage, and they have mobile apps as well. So if you're looking for another online file sharing type solution, you might want to check out box.net.
Very good.
We also heard from Mark Buskey, who is at Northwestern Publishing House, and he was excited to announce that they now have something called Anytime Anywhere Bible Studies, which are basically web-based Bible studies that they've developed. They are built on Adobe Flash, and they are selling them as an option for congregations to post on their own websites and make use of Bible studies on their own websites. And so I think they have 5 different ones available now, and you can purchase them individually or you can purchase the whole bulk of Bible studies. There are quick studies on the life of Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. And then there are more in-depth topical studies on who is Jesus Christ and what is the gospel. And we have some links to include in the show notes to samples of these Bible studies. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check them out, you can visit our show notes webpage. That's wellstech.wells.net, and look for those links.
Yeah, those are just SWIFT files, SWF files that you can embed on your site, and it can be just kind of wrapped in your own site, and nice option for those who want to provide online Bible studies.
Next up, a little Twitter chatter. And if you are interested in communicating with us via Twitter, you can use the hashtag
WellsTech Twitter.
Yep. Did I not Twitter say Twitter?
Chatter? No, I don't know. Chatter's probably not the right word for Twitter, though.
Twitter tweets?
Twitter tweets, yes.
Okay. No? Thanks for correcting my English there. Okay.
Our children will listen to our podcasts 10 years, 20 years from now and say, what a bunch of dweebs.
Yeah. Proudly, I'm a dweeb.
That's right. A whole new language, yes.
Mary McPeak from St.
Now
Martin.
I have you totally flustered.
Okay, Martin, enough.
Maren McPeak, yes.
She's out at St. Mark in Citrus Heights, California. And she is wondering about a Wi-Fi solution for Wells campuses. And I'm assuming what she means is having different Wi-Fi hotspots or access points throughout a campus. And she said she was familiar with Blue Socket and was kind of polling the Wells Tech community for other feedback or experience with other Wi-Fi solutions. And she did get one response so far from MLC Johnson, who is Josh at, I guess it's Nebraska Lutheran High School. And he says that they installed Smoothwall. They have 16 different access points at Nebraska Lutheran. So that may be a solution for Maren. And if you have other suggestions, you need to get in on that tweeting business over on Twitter and contribute your 2 cents worth.
Now, Smoothwall is a vendor that's going to be coming on to the Shop Wells program very soon. And Smoothwall is primarily, and I'm not sure they have a wireless offering, but it's a firewall offering that would obviously work with your wireless network. So I don't know if that's exactly what Maren was asking, but I'm sure there are other Wells Tech listeners who have had to deal with this whole wireless thing, as it's becoming almost the standard on our campuses, on our church and school campuses. So it's a great question to raise.
Very good. Next up, we wanted to just make mention that our Christian worship lectionary Google Calendar has been updated for the next 2 years in the worship cycle. So we have worship resources posted all the way through November of 2013. And those of you that make use of the Google Calendar, I know you're going to be really excited to see these added in. Thanks to our worship office contacts for providing that calendar information. And if you aren't making use of it, you can include this Google Calendar right into your other Google Calendars by visiting our lectionary on Google Calendar webpage on the Wells Tech Wiki. And we'll have a link to that on the show notes, and there's instructions, and you can go right out and make use of it. So
great.
Very good resource.
Yep. We've had a number of people comment that those are very useful.
Pastor Steve Daly who is, I believe, in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, raised a question on the Wells Tech listserv recently about online gradebook options, and he got a lot of great response. Everything from InGrade to EasyGrade Pro to Common Goal Systems gradebook and Jupyter Grades. We've even had Ryan Rothschi from Trinity and Belle Plaine talk about Jupyter Grades, mm-hmm. which used to be Snap Grades, right. Same company. And so we have a lot of links to share related to online gradebook options, and really appreciate the feedback available through the Wells Tech listserv regarding that. One person who jumped into that conversation also had something else to share, and that was Kurt Gostick, who's at St. Lucas in Keewaskum, Wisconsin. And along with his response to Pastor Daly, he included that their church and school is currently selling a batch of computers that they are no longer going to be using. And so he's got a spec sheet available, and if you're interested at all in purchasing computers. At the time he posted this, they had about 20, I want to say their Pentium 4 machines.
That
available.
Sounds right. Yep.
And so we can include a link in the show notes to those specs and Kurt's contact information if you're looking for that kind of computer purchase.
Yep. You can also go to shopwells.net, and there's a link there for that information.
So. Excellent. And along those same lines, over on LinkedIn, which is another place where we have a Wells contingency mm-hmm. In the LinkedIn social network, there was a posting from Art
Flater,
Flater mm-hmm. who is with Central Office Systems, and they're looking to donate some surplus equipment that they have.
Right, this is a new program for them. Yeah, so if you're interested in getting up to speed on what's available there, best way is to join LinkedIn and join the In the Wells group. We would love to have you there. I'm one of the moderators there, and we have about 450 people over there, so it's not a small group, and there's some good discussion that goes on over there, and stuff like this pops up once in a while, so that's the best way to find out how to get involved with that.
Very good. And then lastly, we want to round out our community feedback section with a bunch of links that were shared via our DGO.
And that's a growing group as well, Sally.
That's right. Yep. And there's always great links being shared. For instance, somebody shared a link to the Bible illustration blog, which I thought was really interesting. I don't know if you looked at this one, Martin, but it's a blog done by a man in England who does illustrations of the Bible. And he has a lot of great blog post around the philosophy behind the illustrations and different examples of Bible illustrations mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So I thought it was very well done. A link to some news from Wired, where Lenovo is going to be releasing three different tablet devices, including one that runs Windows 7. So you're no longer going to be tied to just the Apple operating system or the Droid operating system, but these Windows 7 tablets are going to be on the market very soon. So some interesting reviews there. Mm-hmm. I love this one. This is a link that we want to share to an infographic, and it's called How Tech Companies Are Interconnected. And it's basically, I think at the bottom of it, it had this quote. I think this might be the beginnings of a tech version of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. As you look at this, it's really amazing all the different people and connections to different companies that all these major players in the tech world have. It covers Microsoft to Disney to Apple to Facebook to Google and eBay and PayPal and pretty much everything in between. And they pretty much all are connected by various people who've worked for these different companies and things. Yep.
Interestingly enough, Google has the most tentacles here. It's no surprise, probably.
Right. So then there was a link that I picked up on and shared on DGO to Nynite. Have you seen this site?
I've heard of this, yes. Go ahead. Tell us what it is.
But basically what it allows you to do is kind of a batch installation of software. You talked about batch image editing earlier. What this allows you to do is select all the different software that you want to install, and it pretty much pushes all the buttons for you, so you don't have to sit there and nurse the installation one by one, clicking next in the install wizards and that kind of thing. And so you can actually just set up, I want to install these five pieces of software, and click a button, and it does it all for you. and look like a pretty awesome utility for somebody that's trying to manage a network of computers or something where they have to do a lot of installs. So yep. You might want to check that out.
Yep, this is, I've looked at this before. I've actually never tried it, so I can't speak from personal experience, but I've heard other people who actually use this. And not everything is available here, you know, maybe not all the things that you would use, but there are many things that I think could be automated where you just go in, log in, you say, install this stuff, and there's probably a list of, 50, 60, maybe 100 applications that'll actually just get installed in an automated fashion. And most of them are kind of open sourcey, free. In fact, all of them, I think, are free kinds of tools. So it's worth a try if you are a manager of a, let's say, a school computer lab where you have, you know, certain set of applications that need to go on each one.
Very good. Lastly, in the DGO world, we had several links that would be appropriate for our teachers in the listening audience. The first is to collaborizeclassroom.com, which is a...
is that a word?
Collaborize Classroom. It is now. It's a free online learning platform, and it's even got an asterisk next to free. It says, yes, it will always be free. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a way to extend your classroom discussions into a structured, private online community, so you can have a web aspect to your classroom. And so if you're looking for that, it's right at the beginning of the school year. You may want to check this out and see about creating a private site for your classroom. Next up is a link to a page of Math Gems. This is from ThinkZone. And it's just basically a lot of cool math tricks and anomaly kind of things that are written out in a really neat format. So if you're a math teacher, you might want to include a link to this on your classroom webpage. Some really cool math facts. And then finally, using Dropbox in the classroom. And this is a live binder, or a way to share kind of a presentation kind of information, links to different things and that kind of thing. And it covers all different aspects of kind of what is Dropbox and how are ways that I can use it. I see Drop It To Me listed here, Send to Dropbox, Jot Forms, and lots of other ways that you can make use of Dropbox in the classroom. So again, a great free tool that you can use for classroom use as well.
Very good.
I think that's going to do it.
That was a lot. All right. Yeah, and we would encourage more. And in addition to leaving that voicemail for a chance to win that video recorder, we would just love to hear your thoughts on any topic that we talk about on the show, and there are many ways to do that. WellsTech.Wells.net is the website. WellsTech@Wells.net's the email. And at our website, our show notes page, you'll find all kinds of other ways to communicate with us via DGO, as we mentioned, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So please take advantage of that, because that is what we like the most, is to hear what you are thinking about particular topics that we discuss or things that you'd like us to talk about in future shows. Sally, I think that's going to about do it for this week. And we will be back next week, as we mentioned, with more Wells Hacker articles. So we'll be hard at work in between time figuring out what those will be. And we enjoy doing those. So we hope you come back and listen. Let's close the show with the music of Stephen Bautista from his album Abandon by the song of the same name. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope you tune in next week. Side I should be on. I'm
afraid to leave this familiar place that I have come to know, and push out through the bars.